When we talk about Philippine history, colonization and resistance often forms the central themes of discussion. We refer to the heroism of Filipinos in numerous revolts and revolutionary events that led to the country being free. However, it is rare that we talk about those who, from the beginning, were able to resist colonization in the first place. Groups of people who retained their customs and traditions. It is ironic that our numerous indigenous groups, heroic in their own right, remain marginalized, oppressed, and powerless in a society that celebrates freedom and independence. In the final episode of Contested Philippine Histories, we ask, how were indigenous peoples marginalized throughout history? Hi, I am Lee Candelaria.
I am Vic Alporja.
I am Aaron Maliari.
And this is Podcast, Conversations on Philippine History, Politics, and Society. And we have come to our final episode, for this season at least.
Indeed, marami pa tayong historical contestations and controversies na tatalakayin in the future. But for this season, I think, saktong-sakto itong topic natin. Isang mahalagang kontrobersya sa kasaysayan ng Pilipinas. Itong, you know, kawalan ng atensyon na ibinibigay natin sa ating mga indigenous people.
Totoo yan. At sabi nga ni Lee sa opening natin, isang malaking kabalintunaan nga naman talaga na kung sino pa yung talagang nagtagumpay na hindi masakop outright, sila pa itong hanggang ngayon ay patuloy na inaapi at inaabuso, hindi lang ng pamahalaan natin ha, kundi ng kalakhang lipunang Pilipino.
Nakalungkot yan. We have heard numerous accounts of how our indigenous groups have suffered, especially in recent years. Ang dami kasi nilang kalaban, ano? Una, pangangamkam ng lupa para sa mga quote-unquote development projects tulad ng mga mines, dams, at iba pa. Andiyan din ang pagtingin sa kanila bilang mga na-radicalize ng kaliwa at mga kalaban ng pamahalaan, kaya binubomba halimbawa ang kanilang mga paaralan at mga komunidad. Samantala, isang mahalagang usapin din kung sapat ba ang atensyong ibinibigay ng pamahalaan in the first place para naman sa kanilang welfare.
Nariyan pa siyempre yung mababang tingin sa mga indigenous peoples, yung madalas na pagturing sa IP bilang quote-unquote iba. Halimbawa nito yung sa mga textbook natin, ano, kung saan sa isip ng kabataan, binubuo na ang stereotype ng indigenous peoples bilang backward, barbaric, uncivilized. Talagang nakakalungkot.
Siguro isa na ring magandang opportunity itong episode natin to clarify some of the issues that IPs have faced throughout time. Simulan natin sa tanong na, sino nga ba ang indigenous people?
Well, we can say, we are all indigenous to the Philippines in some way or another. But when we talk of IPs, we refer to the numerous upland and lowland ethno-linguistic groups who have not been absorbed by centuries of Spanish and US colonization in the Philippines. Kaya naman retain nila ang ilan sa kanilang mga kaugalian at tradisyon.
And there are several reasons why they were not colonized. Maaring dahil sa kanilang lokasyon, usually inaccessible, lalo na sa uplands, tulad ng Cordillera. But more than geography, I think it's the desire to remain free from colonizers and remain in their ancestral lands that pushed them to resist. And to some extent, the colonizers were also discouraged to come into contact with them. Many of these indigenous groups have garnered quite a reputation with their fighting skills and traditions. Halimbawa, yung headhunting sa Norte, at yung fierce warrior traditions ng mga Moro tulad ng tinatawag ng mga Espanyol na juramentado.
Tama, pero hindi lang sa kanilang mga fighting customs and traditions. The Spanish generally saw the indigenous peoples as quote-unquote uncivilized. No? So, si Francisco Colin, isang Spanish historian, noted that these people were uncivilized, that they had more languages as almost every river has its own languages. And because of this multiplicity of languages, they quote-unquote lacked civilization and communication. So Colin also noted that these groups had nothing written about their customs and traditions. Instead, they passed them down from one generation to another through songs that they retain in their memory.
Sa isa namang dokumento noong 1618, isinalarawan ng mga Negrilos o Negritos mula sa Luzon bilang brutal and averse to civilization. Sabi pa, and I quote, they often cut off the heads of their own fathers and brothers as a pastime, unquote. intense, no? So, ang tingin nila sa mga ganun, trip-trip lang.
Actually, paano yun, no? Hindi naubos yung mga nagritos nun kung nagpugutan sila ng ulo kasi trip-trip lang nila.
Mm.
Anyway, the IPs were not interested with converting to Christianity and moved to the more interior of the mountainous areas para lumayo palalo mula sa mga Espanyol. The Spaniards, on the other hand, didn't think it was worth it to seek them out and resettle them through reducción. So when the United States entered the scene, they were somehow more interested with the IPs. They called the IPs non-Christian tribes or NCTs. And in a 1918 census, the NCTs totaled around 500,000 out of the 10.5 million inhabitants of the country. The largest of the NCTs were the Moros of Mindanao and Sulu, and the upland settlements in the Mountain Province and Nueva Vizcaya in Luzon. Ito yung imahe ng Pilipino na ginamit ng mga Amerikano to showcase in the United States para sabihin na, "These are the Filipinos. Look how backward and uncivilized they are. They need us to help them." Kaya rin tinawag tayong Little Brown Brothers. In fact, one prominent U.S. zoologist, Dean Worster, posed together with the IPs for photos. And these photos were used particularly for propaganda aims. So makikita natin sa photos a hulking man wearing pure white clothes posing beside a small Filipino. Siyempre parang ang liit tuloy niya tignan kasi ang laki nung katabi niya. So ito yung mga halimbawa ng mga larawan na ginamit para i-promote yung colonization ng Pilipinas under the United States.
And at this point, it is apparent what the U.S. interest was in the Philippines. They wanted to exploit its resources. And where are these resources? In those areas untouched by the Spaniards. No? So as early as 1905, the U.S. passed a mining act authorizing U.S. citizens to mine public lands in the Philippines. They also created a Bureau of Non-Christian Tribes through the Jones Law. No? So ang sabi sa batas na ito, the Bureau was aimed at fostering, quote, the moral, material, economic, social, and political development of the regions inhabited by non-Christian Filipinos, always having in view the aim of rendering permanent the mutual intelligence between the complete fusion of all the Christian and non-Christian elements populating the provinces of the archipelago.
At sa ilalim nitong Bureau of Non-Christian Tribes or BNCT na, by the way, pinamunuan ni Dean Worster, yung binanggit kanina ni Lee, nagkaroon ng ilang mga programa tulad ng pag-push sa mga NCTs upang mapasailalim ng organisadong mga komunidad, paabutin ang public school at health system sa mga rehiyon kung saan naroon ang mga NCTs na kanilang mga ancestral domains, pati na rin sa public works, lalo na sa Moro regions upang supposedly mapaunlad sila at syempre mapalawak ang saklaw na kontrol ng colonial government. It was also in this law where it was mentioned that immigration into Mindanao and Sulu as well as the investment in these fertile regions are to be encouraged.
So kapansin-pansin sa pagbuo ng Bureau of Non-Christian Tribes, yung atensyon na ibinigay sa Mindanao kasi nga mahalaga para sa Estados Unidos na makita yung potential nito for agriculture lalo na. Sa Cordillera naman, may mga programang kolonyal din. Halimbawa, ay yung pagkatakda sa Baguio sa Mountain Province bilang summer capital of the Philippines. At literal itong summer capital na ito ha, literal na nagmumove ang mga opisina ng pamahalaan sa Baguio kasi init na init ang mga Amerikano sa Maynila. Kaya naman dito sa Baguio na rin makikita yung attempt ng mga Amerikano to somehow develop a city that could be replicated in the mountainous areas. But still, they really weren't able to penetrate the NCTs living in nearby regions.
Upon the granting of Philippine independence, yung usapin ng national integration ay nanatili. So isang mahalagang turning point ay yung pagpasa ng Republic Act No. 1888 na nagtatag ng Commission on National Integration noong 1957. Dito, mula non-Christian tribes or NCTs, tinawag na ngayong national cultural minorities ang mga indigenous peoples. Although, nanatili ang intent na ma-integrate sila sa kabuuang populasyon ng Pilipinas.
So itong Commission on National Integration na ito ay isang halimbawa ng programa na i-modernize ang mga indigenous peoples. So yung approach niya ay hindi upang pangalagaan ang cultural heritage ng mga IP, Instead, it was very obvious that the government wanted the IPs to live their lifestyles, embrace modernity, kung ano man ang ibig sabihin ng modernity, and resettle in areas where they can be better managed by the government. So, sa halip na kilalanin yung diversity ng mga Pilipino, at least sa panahon ng pagkakatatag ng Commission on National Integration, meron silang vision na kung ano ang isang Pilipino at para sa kanila, hindi pa narating ng mga IP yung antas na yon.
Tama, at magkakaroon ito ng epekto sa mga IPs. Nagbago ang naging pagtingin ng mismong mga IP sa kanilang kultura at mga kaugalian. In fact, in the late 20th century, yung mga anak ng mga magsasaka sa Ifugawa, limbawa, unti-unting iniwan ang kanilang mga bayan at paraan ng pamumuhay. And instead of continuing their customs and traditions, they opted to leave and stay in the city.
Magbabago yung pagtingin sa IPs in the later decades of the 20th century. Noong 1997, naipasa ang Indigenous Peoples' Rights Act or IPRA. Dito, kapansin-pansin yung pagbabago ng pananaw. Kung dati ang focus ay integration, ngayon ang focus ay karapatan. No, karapatan na ma-retain ang pagiging indigenous ng kalinangan, pagkilala sa karapatan ng mga IP na ipagpatuloy at protektahan ng kanilang mga kaugalian, tradisyon at pamumuhay. Ganyan din, binuo ang National Commission on Indigenous Peoples or NCIP.
Yeah, at isa pang tunguhin ng IPRA ay mapangalagaan ang mga indigenous peoples, pati na ang mga ancestral domains nila. Unfortunately, many have argued that the IPRA seemed powerless in protecting the IPs against land issues and military atrocities. So sabi nga ni Vic kanina, naging magandang example yung batas. Pero at the end of the day, implementation din kasi siguro yung usapin dito. Tsaka kung anong interest ba yung nananatili sa lipunan. At mahalagang tignan natin yung interest ng pamahalaan, yung interest ng private entities over the ancestral domains, particularly issue of land ng mga IPs. In fact, ayon sa mga IP groups mismo, ginagamit ang IPRA at ang NCIP or yung National Commission on Indigenous Peoples for Development Aggression. Ito yung pagkasangkalan sa mga karapatang pantao ng mga IP upang maipagpatuloy yung mga development projects na karamihan naman ay hindi kapakipakinabang sa mga IP groups apektado nito.
And actually, itong IPRA, yung ginamit na model ng United Nations nung ginawa nila yung United Nations Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples or UNDRIP, no, I think around 2002. At ang nakakagalit pa dyan, ano, ay yung trend ng criminalization ng mga IP sa bansa. Imagine, ano, bahagi ka ng isang IP group na talaga namang hindi nabibigyan ng sapat na atensyon ng pamahalaan, kadalasan pa kinakamkaman ng lupa among other things. So, di ba, aalma ka talaga. So, kapag umalma ka, itatag ka namang terorista. Naghihirap ka na nga, humingi ka ng tulong, tapos papatayin ka pa. Napakasaklap talaga.
Or halimbawa, yung nagtayo kayo ng eskwelahan para mabigyan ng edukasyon ng mga IPs tulad na lang ng mga lumad bakwit schools. Tapos yung presidente mismo sasabihin na bobombahin niyang paaralan na yan kasi tinuturuan lumaban ng mga kabataan laban sa gobyerno. Diba, anong insecurity ba nitong militar at ng pamahalaan at ganito ang tingin nila sa mga IPs?
Especially in the time of Duterte, we have seen numerous legal arrests of IPs. Although I'd say, hindi lang naman si Duterte ito, even other administrations before him. Ang pagkakaiba lang, under Duterte, it somehow is state policy. The way the IPs have been caught in the crossfire between the military and the quote-unquote insurgency movements against the government. Sabi nga ni Aaron, matinding insecurity nga talaga kasi aware din siguro ang pamahalaan sa ginagawa nitong panggigipit sa mga IPs. Nakakalungkot na nagpapatuloy itong mga pag-atake sa IP rights sa panahon na nananatiling mababa ang pagtingin sa indigenous peoples. Ang hirap lang sikmurain na 21st century na tayo, hindi pa rin talaga tayo aware sa cultural diversity ng ating bansa. Kahit sa akademya, kadalasan ginagawang laboratory ang indigenous peoples para sa mga pag-aaral sa kanilang kultura. Tapos hindi naman babalik sa komunidad para ipaunawa sa mga IPs yung impact ng research sa kanila.
Yan yung tinatawag din na research fatigue. O isang halimbawa pa ay kung paanong tayong mga hindi IP, ginagawa nating aesthetic ang indigenous people's culture without really understanding and appreciating what these cultural elements mean. Baka dapat siguro kahit sa antas na to maging careful at, you know, sensitive tayo. Kasi akala natin nagiging inclusive tayo, but in many ways, we don't really highlight the diversity. But instead, we emphasize how different they are from the rest of the population.
And I think mahalaga rin na sa individual level, i-champion natin ang panawagan na itigil ang pangdudusta, pang-aapi, pang-aabuso at pandarahas sa indigenous people's rights, diba? So, we must condemn the development aggression of government and private entities. Halimbawa, makibahagi tayo sa pag-promote ng indigenous culture and traditions at marami pang iba.
At sana dumating yung panahon na sa halip na iba yung tingin natin sa mga IP, ay ma-realize natin na pinapayaman nila ang kulturang Pilipino. The only way we can imagine what we could have been if colonization did not happen is to look at how the indigenous peoples have survived until the present, which I think makes being a Filipino more special in the present.
And that's about it for this episode and this series, Contested Philippine History. So sana nag-enjoy kayo dito sa season na to.
Tama, and don't worry because we will be back with our fourth and final season for 2021. Abangan nyo yan very, very soon. For now, please like, follow, and subscribe to our social media pages. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and on YouTube, we are Podcast TV.
And as always, you can find Podcast in all its seasons and episodes on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you get your usual podcast fix. You can also visit our website, www.podcast.org, for other resources on Philippine history, politics, and society.
Hanggang sa susunod na season. Thank you for listening, and as always, have a good day!